These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Justice was served today for Mr. Floyd. Doesn't mean that we are going to be bringing him back home. And that's the most unfortunate part of all of this. So it was a day where step towards reform was made. But there's a lot of work to do, and there's a lot of conversations that need to be had to make sure that this doesn't happen again, or at least try to save the next generation from having moments like this.
Welcome in, Mackie and Judd. That was Carl Anthony Towns after, I would say, one of the more exciting, and by the way, they dedicated the game after the game to George Floyd, Towns, and other players speaking from the heart. But that was maybe one of the most entertaining and I would say hopeful. Like, if you're just looking, if you're a Wolves fan and you're crawling through the desert and you're just looking for a bottle of water, like the fourth quarter last night against the Kings gave you that bottle of water, Judd.
So I had the my computer side by side last night. Twins on one, Attaboy. Right? Which is just very disappointing, which is extremely disappointing.
Actually, we got to talk about Declan had a major conundrum. Declan may have just wasted a laptop purchase.
And the Wolves were on my other computer. And you know what? More and more as the basketball game played out, I'm like, this is a fun game. Like, it's back and forth. I don't know if there was much defense played. I do believe the defense at times last night in Sacramento might have been optional, but that's okay. I don't really care at this point in time. That was a fun game to watch. And this comes back to my question that I asked you yesterday. The more I think about this, Phil, with the current roster that this team has, with a few tweaks here and there, why a season from now can't they be competing for a playoff spot? I'm not saying a playoff run. I'm not saying a top four team. Why can't
I might be after?
Why can't
year.
No? But I'm serious. Why can't
I think they're winning? I think they're winning the title next year. They just need LeBron James to tear his ACL, and they're in. Baby.
What?
Let's do this.
What is stop? What is going to like? What's the impediment? Oh, the team stinks. Actually, they don't stink. Like, they've got players, right? If they've got the right coach, they've got players. I definitely could see an additional or two for sure. Okay, so I'm not saying that the roster is perfect. It's not, but they've got players. They've got some top echelon talent. Why a year from now can't we be talking about a fun Wolves team that is at least in a conversation in the Western Conference to be in the playoff picture?
The tweet that I sent out last night, I think, is a great social experiment for how many people don't have a sarcasm or a fun radar. I said, Wolves are winning the title next year. Fight me. And I would say about a third of the responses were like, you're out of your mind. They're not going to. What are you smoking out there, Mackie? Hey, Mackie, maybe you should take off your Wolves-colored glasses.
You want my best one last night? My best one last night was the lights go out in the Oakland Coliseum, which is a piece of crap, okay? It's from the 60s. And I tweet, shocking that the new Oakland Coliseum would have a malfunction like this. And I actually got one guy tweeting back, what are you talking about? It's not new. It's not new.
I just lost connection, but that is, I caught the tail end of that, and I'm back now. And now I'm going to go on to your Twitter account and troll you with a few.
Go on and troll me with
anonymous avatars.
And then the guy got back to me a second time with the year the Coliseum was built. Like, as if to tell a 51-year-old dude, yeah, you know what? It's not a new stadium at all.
There needs to be some sort of a sarcasm, like, button that you can put on a tweet. I don't know. So all right. A great fourth quarter for the Wolves last night. You had at one point D'Angelo Russell, they're still pumping the brakes on his minutes a little bit. He didn't really play down the stretch, but he had 28 points in 25 minutes on 13 shots last night. Ant Edwards was mostly really good. It took a while for Towns to join the party offensively, but he puts up 26, 18, and 5. And so a lot of positive feel-good vibes for the Wolves.
Mm-hmm.
Until you open up the ringer.com yesterday, which casted some major shade upon young star Anthony Edwards. And this Timberwolves shade is presented by Federated Mutual Insurance Company, okay? All right, so Federated is here with positive vibes for your business, not negative shade-like vibes for your business.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're the good guys.
The Ringer is the opposite when it comes to your business. Federated is the opposite for your business as the Ringer is to the Timberwolves.
Got yourself in a pickle now, don't you?
You can find out more about why Federated has been providing risk management resources and peace of mind to business owners in the state of Minnesota for over 100 years at federatedinsurance.com. Find out more about MyShield as well, the online client destination for risk management resources. Federatedinsurance.com. Remember, at Federated, it's our business to protect yours, all right? The article examines current NBA player comps for the 2020 rookie class.
Okay.
And for Anthony Edwards, the number one pick last year, who has been up and down at times but has shown you some ridiculous upside, especially in the second half of the season, right? His top five comps, according to The Ringer, are Coby White, J.R. Smith, Colin Sexton, Deion Waiters, and Jordan Crawford. And I'm going to read you the excerpt here, okay? Edwards is one of the most extreme examples of a high-usage, low-efficiency rookie. And by the way, that's not necessarily false. He shoots a lot. He only shoots like 40%. And he's got games where he's going to go like 3 of 15 from the field unapologetically, right? So we've seen that. It's not a false statement to say that he's a low-efficiency, high-usage player.
Sure.
The 19-year-old has fired up shots this season with or without Towns and Russell next to him, becoming one of 16 rookies this century with a usage rate of at least 27%. But among that group, the only players with a lower efficiency are Jordan Crawford and Dennis Smith Jr. And so what they're saying here is he is one of the highest usage, lowest efficiency players in all of the NBA. And they even noted, too, that even as he's poured in points since the All-Star break, he's needed a lot of shots to get there. Out of 48 players this season, not just rookies, but all players, with a usage rate of at least 25%, Edwards ranks last in true shooting percentage. I just want to tell you guys that this is a ludicrous set of players to compare Anthony Edwards to. When you factor in, A, none of the comps listed in this article were regularly taking over games as 19-year-olds. When you go look at like J.R. Smith's rookie season or Deion Waiters' rookie season, they went like 8 and 10 game stretches where they didn't even score 10 points in a game because they were just like sort of in over their heads as young players for the most part. Anthony Edwards has flaws as a 19-year-old, but he is regularly taking over games and winning them for the Timberwolves. And B, none of the comps listed here to me had the dynamic team leader type personality that he has displayed as a 19-year-old. And so to sit here and say, well, I mean, like his true shooting percentage looks like Deion Waiters. Okay, what about all the other factors that maybe you can't quantify as the analytics guy on this show that you can't quantify on basketballreference.com? He has shown more upside at 19 years old than any of those five dudes that were listed in this article. And he just has to take like all of the upside that he has shown in the 20 and 30 point games and trim out some of the inefficiencies. I'd rather start from there than start from a place of J.R. Smith just being oblivious and clueless as a 19-year-old. Your thoughts.
Why do I feel like, and this has been the case before, but it feels like more and more it's being pounded home. The analytics of things, which I think are definitely intriguing and definitely help, like they really do help you go down a path that 15 years back you didn't go down. But as of late, and across the sports, I feel like we're talking more and more about the eye test and seeing what you see like being gone. And it's we're pivoting to analytics is king and here's what it means. And you're like, yeah, did you watch the games? And look, Ant has growing to do, okay? He's a young player. He has some awful games. He is admittedly a great athlete and a developing basketball player, but he's not there yet. Nobody is saying that this is him and the good and the bad. No, there's a lot to be done here. I completely get that. But Phil, it feels like in the last, couple months or so, we are in agreement. But we're having these discussions about the eye test and what you see is like just completely removed. It's like the analytics say this, and this is what this guy or this team is, and that's that. And it's like, well, yeah, did you watch games? Like you're not, your point's not wrong, and it's a great starting point possibly, but it's not where we're going to end up here because it has to be melded together, which I am, as an old guy, more than happy to do, like, because I find it intriguing. So, like, if you bring what you bring and I bring what I bring and we have a discussion and we combine those two things, I think that we can get to a really interesting place of sports discussion that 20 years back we probably didn't. So that's great. But I don't know why it feels like now we are pivoting or going to a place where Ant is this and he's 19 and this is what it says. And you're like, okay, but are we allowing for any room for the discussion to change because of growth and or what we know that we have seen for those of us who watch this player on a regular basis?
Yeah. In fact, like, I'm gonna compare Anthony Edwards to another recently familiar young Timberwolves player, and if you just want to play the stat sheet in the analytics game for a second here, and I'm not gonna give you like deep dive analytics, I'm just gonna give you like some general back of the basketball card stats, okay? If you didn't watch these guys play in their rookie seasons, but you just compared their stat lines, Andrew Wiggins is a 19-year-old with the Timberwolves, averaged 17 points. Wiggins was playing a few more minutes. He was playing like 35 minutes. Ant's playing like 32, but you know, they're both playing over 30 minutes a game. So Ant, 18 points a game. Wiggins, 17 points a game. Ant, 4.5 rebounds. Wiggins, 4.5 rebounds. Ant, 2.5 assists. Wiggins, 2 assists. Ant, 40% field goals. Wiggins, 43% field goals. Both of them shooting 31% and 32% from three. Back of the basketball card stats, Andrew Wiggins and Anthony Edwards are basically the same player as a 19-year-old. And so if you never watched either one of those guys play and you didn't get to soak in their personalities and you didn't get to see the dynamic and what they did late in games, you would say, oh, man, they're basically the same guy. They're both inefficient offensive players, and he's basically going to be a bust like Andrew Wiggins, right? Or just like relegated to a role player. When you watch Andrew Wiggins and you watch Anthony Edwards, could you find like two more diametrically opposed styles and personalities? I mean, Wiggins is actively looking to hide in the corner, save for like three times per game when he sees an open lane and might go down for a dunk, right? Edwards is looking to take over every single time he touches the ball, it feels like to me. And maybe I'm over-exaggerating, but I just don't think you can look at, like, if you're comparing Anthony Edwards to Dion Waiters, that is on you.
Yeah, well,
and I mean, come on.
There's two things about Ant that stand out in the conversation to me as well. One is personality, ability to want to lead, ability for people to gravitate towards him, which is a discussion that I will admit is a tough one because there's no way to completely quantify it, but it's important. The other and the most important, and this has been brought up by a lot of people, including Gerson, when he came on with us, is Ant is in no way close to being a finished product. Like, Andrew came out of school, and yes, there was growth to be done there, but I mean, that was sort of his game, right? Like, he was going to grow, but you sort of thought to yourself, okay, I sort of know how much he'll grow probably. When it comes to Ant, it's a different ball game here. Like, he is an athlete who played basketball, but he is far from a complete player. So I just think when you meld all of the different things about Ant's personality, about Ant's potential growth, and the other thing too, and this is another unquantifiable thing, is you listen to Ant or watch Ant play, you basically come away saying, this guy wants to be great.
Mm-hmm.
You tell me, Phil, when was the time, including when you talked to him in person at Media Day, when was the time you walked away from Andrew Wiggins and said, you know what? Today's the day. I think he wants to be great.
Yeah, and I would throw almost every one of those five guys that were listed in the comp section here in that same category where, like, yeah, they're NBA players and they're talented and they want to be really good, but I just think Ant is on a totally different level. And one more thing off this, and we'll talk some Twins and get to our Write That Down predictions and accountability session here today. So they used a graphic here. They took a bunch of prominent rookies, basically rookies this century with a 27% usage rate, and then lined up their true shooting percent. So the goal here is rookies who have been used the most in this century and rank them based on how efficient they are as offensive players. And the top of this list is Kyrie Irving, Blake Griffin. Elton Brand was a good player. But then it's like Ben Gordon and Jahlil Okafor are also on this list near the top. Well, and Carmelo Anthony and Luka Doncic. So it's kind of a mixed bag. At the bottom of the list, Ant Edwards is third from the bottom. The two guys right ahead of him, who also were very inefficient, high-usage players as rookies,
yep,
were DeMarcus Cousins and LeBron James. LeBron James is a rookie. I looked this up this morning, all right? LeBron James as a rookie had 37 games where he shot below 40% from the field. 15 of those games, he was below 30%. Mm-hmm. And again, I am not saying Ant Edwards is going to be the next LeBron James.
I just heard that on this show right now. That's what I just heard.
But the greatest player of our generation, him and Michael Jordan, right? As a rookie, could get any shot he wanted, had some shooting issues, which Anthony Edwards has too, and just needed to sort of figure out where the inefficiencies were on the court offensively. And it just takes you a minute as an 18 or 19-year-old to figure that out sometimes. So right. I saw that article and I was like, I love the Ringer so much, but oh my God.
Write that down. Write that down. Ant will be better than LeBron James. That's what I heard.
Is that what it was? We'll quantify that on today's Write That Down session for sure.
We're going to win, Twins. We're going to score. We're
going to win, Twins. No. False advertising. I'm suing.
Definitely not going to score. In fact, I don't think they've scored a run since last Friday.
They scored a run in the sixth against the Angels, and I think it was a 10-3 loss. They did not score in the final three of that game, and then they came back and played 14 innings on Tuesday, so we're at 17 now without a run being scored.
Oof. Today's Talkin' Twins discussion is powered, and maybe they can help power some bats here, at DennisKirk.com. So if you're a rider, Harleys, sport bikes, cruisers, you know, whatever it is that you ride, you'll find what you need at DennisKirk.com. 160,000 parts and accessories in stock. I don't think they have doubles, triples, and home runs in stock, which the Twins could use.
Can they order some?
I don't know what happened to the Bomba Squad, but the Bomba Squad is now like the fizzled out firecracker squad 2 years later.
It's like the Acme one that Wile E. Coyote buys and blows up in his face trying to get the road. Like that you got out the Acme version of the Bomba Squad. It's basically that. Yeah. It's cartoonish.
Yep. So at DennisKirk.com, you order before 8 p.m. and they ship the same day. Plus, shipping is free for orders over $89. Best in the business. DennisKirk.com, everything you need for your ride at DennisKirk.com. All right. I feel like we've had like a daily panic index on this show when it comes to the Twins. But my God, they just played a doubleheader against the A's. And remind me, is it Diekman who locked down the save last night?
Jake Diekman.
And he's a good pitcher. Don't get me wrong. He's a good reliever. But like, he's throwing 95, and that's, you know, 95 is a hard fastball. Guys throw harder. It looked like the way that hitters were reacting to his fastball, Buxton swung and missed at three of them. Astudillo was late on a bunch of them. It looked like he was throwing 104 miles an hour.
Yep.
Like, they just couldn't pick it up. I don't know if it was the dim lights at the Oakland Coliseum, but they're swinging through these just piped fastballs. And Diekman's like, all right, whatever, dude. I guess I'll just throw right down the middle, 95. And if you guys can't catch up to it, so be it. But Donaldson missed a couple of fastballs right down the middle in his last at bat.
Yeah, he got called out on strikes too.
Yeah. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. I guess the Twins haven't scored a run since last Friday. Sano's out with a hamstring. Now what is your level of panic? It was high yesterday, but what is it now?
I'm not panicked. I'm pissed off. I'm frustrated. And here's why. Okay. So, honest to God, you've got now Kepler, Garlick, Andrelton Simmons,
Carver,
Theobar on the COVID injured list, okay? And the Twins said, they actually said this. I saw this reported with my own eyes. I couldn't believe it. Like, this is a competitive baseball team. Like, this is supposed to be a good team. And the Twins actually said that they didn't want to put Alex Kirilloff on a commercial flight to fly him to Oakland because of the pandemic, and that he might be up now, I guess, on Friday against the Pirates at Target Field. But did you guys, like, look at the lineups last night? Austin Hill played both games. Brent Rooker is Edward Bleepin' Scissors Hand in the outfield. The man cannot, I mean, he's a butcher out there. Yeah, this team needs offense. This team needs help. And you don't want to put a guy on a plane, on a commercial flight. You know, he can wear a mask. I hope he's been, got the vaccine, right? Instead, you're like, Astudillo played both games. What's he doing playing both games at second base? Like, you're a major league team. You're supposed to be good. Aren't we supposed to be past this? Like, the Twins right now, here's what frustrates me. So I'm not panicked. I'm pissed. What frustrates me is this. The Twins are doing very Terry Ryan later year things right now. They are. And they're supposed to be, you know, I mean, they're a competitive team. They're supposed to be good. And I'm sorry, the last time I checked, you don't really have the luxury of stacking losses at any point in time. So you can't put Kirilloff on a plane? Are you serious? Astudillo has to start both. He's a backup. He's a backup. And then and now you've got three guys, three of your important players, I guess all three are, who have had hamstring problems. And we're not out of April yet. JD, his first at bat, hamstring. Buxton, missed time, hamstring. Now the big guy, Miguel Sano, oh, he had to come out with a hamstring. Like, what the hell is going on here? I'm not panicked, because I'm far more upset about what I'm seeing and what they're not doing. No, but I mean, this can all be a lot of this can be avoided. A lot of this, put Kirilloff on a plane. I'll drive him to the damn airport. I'll give him a couple masks. Put him on a plane and fly him to that game yesterday. Seriously, when did we get to a point where, if we lose these, I mean, you look at some of the guys they're playing, it's an invitation to lose big games. And by the way, you were playing an Oakland team that went into yesterday with 8 consecutive wins, so they were playing really good baseball, and you're like, it'll be fine.
How sure are we that Alex Kirilloff, who by the way, has up until, you know, the doubleheader a week ago or whenever it was, had zero regular season major league at bats. He had the 3 playoff plate appearances, but he doesn't have any real major league experience. He's still a young dude.
Yep.
He might still need some up and down. It's possible he doesn't break out for another year or two. We don't know.
Yep.
I mean, we're looking at him right now. How big of an issue is it that, oh my God, they need to get him up here to save the offense?
Well, but
like,
I'm saying,
you just signed.
Give yourself a chance. No. I'm not saying he can save it. I'm saying, I scored 2 games in the $30 scorebook last night and was embarrassed to write some of those names in the starting lineup.
The 2 biggest elephants in the room right now are the 2 guys that you signed to, what, 6-7 year contracts, and they're very team-friendly. But when you signed Jorge Polanco and Max Kepler to those contracts, and then you saw what they did offensively 2 years ago on the Bomba Squad, you thought, oh my God, these are going to be the 2 best contracts in baseball. These guys are emerging as 2 of the best players at their positions. Yep. And, like, those guys are just sort of clueless so far this season at the plate. And, like, Jorge Polanco is swinging a wet, rolled-up newspaper. You know, I would love to see Kirilloff here, too. I agree with what you're saying, which is, you know, just find a way at some point when your offense can't do anything, find a way to get him in a Twins uniform and just see what he can do.
Right.
But I think their offensive woes and how far they've fallen since the Bomba Squad 2 years ago, that's the thing that I am the absolute most concerned about right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's a James Rousen being gone problem, if it was a juiced baseball problem and the Twins were just uniquely able to capitalize on a juiced baseball 2 years ago, or if there was something else at play that we don't know of, you know, that was a reason for why they were so great offensively 2 years ago. But it is it is amazing. I mean, I don't think there's a team in baseball that's fallen off as much as they have offensively since 2019. And
yes,
I get that we're still dealing with some small samples, a 60-game season last year and the first 3 weeks of this season. But at some point, you can't just not score runs in both games of a doubleheader. And you can't just look at a lineup and say, all right, well, when Nelson Cruz comes up, then everything's going to be fine. They have like 5 automatic outs in their lineup any given night, maybe even more when some of these guys are out with hamstring problems. So, yeah, I don't know. if the problem is if Kepler and Polanco, and I get the Kepler's on the COVID list right now, but like before he was on the COVID list, he had 3 hits in the first game, if I'm not mistaken, and basically has done almost nothing since then.
Correct.
And so if those guys aren't going to be the players that you thought they were going to be, I don't know what the fix is, because I think you have to keep running them out there based on the contracts that they signed. And it's not like you just have like instant replacements for those guys. So it's a really interesting situation. And like Brent Rooker hasn't stepped up and taken a spot yet. He's still just like completely lost offensively. And like you said, he's not really going to be an outfielder long term. So I mean, they got to figure some of this stuff out quick, because they've already given away the fast start in the first week, and now they're 4 games under 500.
And that's my point about Kirilloff. You've got to figure things out. So like saying we don't want to put him on a plane and fly him commercial. No, that's not the. And I'm not saying that Kirilloff is going to arrive in Oakland and be, you know, the guy who fixes things. He's not. I understand that completely. But, like, you need to make moves right now. So here's the thing. Here's the thing that drives me nuts. The Twins, for 2 years with Rocco, have been really good during the course of the season until the playoffs. And part of the whole thing, and it sort of made you think at times, but it didn't become a real problem, was this laid-back, everything will work out, everything will be fine, right? And you know what? Baseball's a long year. There are times where that mentality is probably really smart. In fact, there are lots of times that it probably works. Right now, though, I can tell you, is not one of those times. Like, you need to be doing things right now that don't show panic. They show urgency. An acknowledgement that you understand the urgency of what's going on here, right? Right?
Like, well, what would you? I think you're talking about two different things here. I think you're talking about things the front office can do, which is get Kirilloff up and just cross
his
fingers.
I'm talking about
and hope.
An organizational philosophy of there are times to be laid back fish guy, and there are times to be, oh, this needs to be addressed right bleeping now guy. Okay.
Are you saying that Rocco needs to go in, though, and light these guys up?
No. I'm saying across the board, everybody who runs this team, Falvey, Levine, Baldelli, needs to be right now acknowledging and showing and making moves that show that there is an urgency to the predicament. So, no, I'm not saying no yelling, no screaming, but you don't have the luxury right now of the whole, it's a long year, the guys, we're just trying to keep them calm. We're just trying to, like, you need to do things. You can't say that you're a major league team and you don't want to put a guy on a commercial flight. Like, that doesn't work for me.
I want to go on the record real quick because, listen, I am just as annoyed at all of these things. I'm annoyed by the hamstrings. I'm annoyed by the lack of offense. Sure. I'm annoyed that they have 1 win since April 9th because they've lost a bunch of games and because they haven't played for a few days. But I want to go on the record and say I still think they're fine. And I think it's really easy to overreact to a small chunk, especially at the beginning of the season. Like, almost every team in baseball is going to go through multiple stretches where they just have a bunch of problems. And we highlighted that Dodgers example from like 4 years ago where they went to the World Series and lost like 20 out of 21 games in September or something. Like, baseball's a weird sport.
Yep.
And if you look up and down the league right now, the Yankees are 6-10, the Twins are 6-10, the Astros are 7-9. The over in the National League, the Braves are 7-10, and they're expected to be in the mix as one of the best teams in the National League.
Mm-hmm.
And even the Padres are just 500, and they were supposed to be like a 100-win team this year, and might still be. So I will say is everything that you're bringing up, and I'm with you on this stuff. It's all valid, but a 6-10 start to the season doesn't mean that you're going to be garbage all year.
No.
It doesn't mean that like the season's over. I want to set that expectation.
In fact, a 6-10 start is possibly a gift, and here's why. This is a fire drill right now, okay? This is I love the fact that the Twins are being tested with a fire drill. Do you know what this is a drill for? The playoffs. The urgency. This is an example of, do you have a gear? Do you have a gear to show urgency? So I'm not.
You're saying that what we've seen lately is a great test for. I would say that they've failed the test.
Well, they are failing the test, which is why I want to see. Like, what causes this franchise from a baseball operation standpoint to say, okay, we need to do something here. We can't just continue with this Grateful Dead kumbaya dance that we love to do. You know, like, I don't want to hear trucking no more. You know, I don't want to hear the Grateful Dead no more. Put on some urgent music right now and make some bleeping moves. Doesn't mean that you got a meltdown. It doesn't mean that you don't have to be true to yourself. But Phil, at some point in time, urgency is required of people that want to be successful.
Dad's like, put on some Hit 'Em Up by Tupac and just crank it in the clubhouse.
I don't care what you put on. Just put on something that shows that you're urgent. Take the fish out of the CD player, the Grateful Dead 2.
CD player.
Put the CD player away. Get the iPod out and make it urgent.
Declan, do you have a CD player?
Yeah, I have one in my apartment, actually. Yeah, I do.
I love a good CD player.
I have a record player. No, God, no. I haven't used the CD player.
You have a record player? Years.
I have a vinyl player.
Little
too,
vinyl?
Yeah. Yep, I have a vinyl player.
Do you buy it?
We don't have a CD player, but we do have a record player.
Yep. I got one for Christmas about 5-6 years ago. Still use it. It's a good time.
Oh, old school. Old school's the greatest.
It's phenomenal.
Little a skip or something. It's just fantastic. Oh, yeah. I love it.
What song, what artist would you recommend for the Clubhouse vibes right now?
Ooh.
Declan, I just told Judd, I think Hit 'Em Up by Tupac. I think you just need to light the whole thing on fire.
Yes. You need something to light them on their fire. I'm trying to think of like a good like rambunctious, like, you know what? Some DMX. Like honor some DMX
like
here.
Going here.
Just mm-hmm. I was talking on Instagram Live yesterday on our Score North channel late last night with a couple seltzers in, and Josh Donaldson, like, showing the fire and passion and, like, him yelling at a rise to get down to third. Because some people are like, I don't see the passion from Donaldson. I think you see the passion from Donaldson.
I do, too. I think he's yelling at himself after missing those fastballs. I love that guy, man.
Super locked in. Yeah. I love how he plays pissed off. That's what I like about him. He plays pissed off, and I want him and Jose. Because I think him and Jose, because someone even asked, like, do you think him and Jose have conflicting styles? And I said, actually, no. I think they have extremely similar styles.
For real?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
He's pissed. He pitches pitched off all the time as well. So I want both those guys to light them up. Like, seriously, get them going.
Hey, last thing. Why the hell is the Oakland Coliseum still a thing? Like, what are we doing here? Why?
Also, like,
why?
Dude, people act like, well, I mean, it's Oakland. What do you mean it's Oakland? The Bay Area is like one of the five biggest.
Yes.
And now Oakland's not necessarily known as like a rich area. It's more San Francisco, Silicon Valley, but there's money in the area. That's all I'm saying. Like, there's money in the area.
I mean, you regularly have a bank of lights that goes out. Like, yeah, that they had this problem last year too, or sewage
had raw
back.
Sewage.
Yes, like it's not a cute ballpark. You know, Wrigley.
Honestly,
Fenway.
The Twins deserve
blow
it.
Blow it
right
up.
Now. The Twins deserve it right now. They,
oh,
deserve
the
raw
sewage. They
in
deserve
their
the sewage backing
right
up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go score a run, and we'll shovel the sewage out of your clubhouse and dugout.
God.
That's your reward. If you score a run,
like
we'll
that,
get the
Phil.
Sewage out.
They're playing like it at this point in time. Raw sewage, baby.
We're going to win, Twins. We're going to score. We're going to win, Twins. What's a baseball score?
So, all right, that's Talking Twins. Every single day, we break down this 6-10 baseball team that can't score a run to save its life. And you can find bonus episodes with Judd and Dex and our friend, the artist formerly known as the Curse of Punto on Twitter.
He is not
Jake
happy.
DePue.
He is not happy
and,
last
night. Go check out Declan did a little couple seltzers in Instagram live on our Score North Instagram channel last night. Just Instagram.com/ScoreNorth, SKOR North, if you want to check that out. All right, boys, it's time for us to take a deep breath, collect ourselves, and go through the weekly accountability session.
Oh.
Write that down, predictions. And an accountability session coming up next on Mackie and Judd.
Most sports talking heads make predictions, then hope you forget about how wrong they were. But not Mackie and Judd.
Write this down.
This is the Big Leagues, where we own our terrible predictions.
Write that down.
And keep track of each other's batting averages. It's Write That Down.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
With Mackie and Judd.
Yeah. Yeah, listen up, all you frauds out there. All you frauds that make predictions in the sports talking head realm and just hope that everyone's going to forget how wrong you were. Well, not on this show. the only show in America, this and our other daily show, Purple Daily, where we actually keep track of each other's predictions, hold each other accountable. It's called Write That Down. And it's presented this week, boys, by Wamatech. Wamatech can't help you with incorrect predictions, but they can help you with broken down phone, tablets, and laptops. And so maybe it's time you examine that big crack in your phone or the hinge on your laptop that's been broken for 6 months. Or maybe you were just mad that your favorite baseball team just can't score runs anymore. I don't know. Maybe you chucked your device or something. I don't know how it broke. But to get a new one or a slightly pre-owned device, you don't have to break the bank. That's where Wamatech comes in. They source pre-owned devices directly and pass the savings on to you. They leave them buy your old device for cash. Buy, sell, trade in, whatever you need. Wamatech is here to help you. They're local and they're online at wamatech.com. W-A-M-A-T-E-K. W-A-M-A-T-E-K.com.
Real
boys,
quick, speaking of
write
Wamatech.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
So and Phil kind of alluded to this a little bit in the first segment. So I bought a new laptop. I bought a laptop to basically watch games because I can watch all these games on my laptop. And I want a new one so I can plug it into my television while I can still use my personal one, you know, for tweeting and whatnot and just being up to date.
Some people might be wondering, if you have a TV, why would you need to buy a laptop to watch things on TV?
Yeah, that's a really good question.
Seems like I get games through my TV.
Right, right. No, sometimes I just like to really test the strengths of technology, right? Like I like to just really, really see like, oh, what can I do with this laptop? I like to do things with that
Sounds illegal to me.
Well, let's just say the ways I watch baseball games are no longer permittable, and that laptop might be getting thrown out the window. So Wamatech might be helping me out here very soon just after purchasing said new laptop.
So just to sum this up, all right, so Declan, the platform that Declan watches games, took away one of the league's slate of games yesterday, the day that he got this new laptop.
The day.
And so now you can watch. I mean, you can watch other leagues games.
Yeah, so wait, lost access altogether?
Well, I have another way to watch the games. It's not as helpful as the other way to watch the games.
Serious question. I'm curious. If I turn you in, what do I get?
I don't know what you're talking about. You don't get anything. What are you talking about?
I'm saying if there happens to be somebody in, let's say, the cable patrol business out there, and I turn you in for what you are doing.
I'm not doing anything illegal. I'm not doing anything. I'm not sharing the website.
That's not the point. You're skirting. You're skirting the technology that I'm not. I'm paying full price.
This is like when people get after people who are sharing, you know, Netflix passwords. This happens all the time.
And if I start to turn them in, what I'm curious is, could I make a nice little supplemental income?
Listen.
There are executive producers growing on trees, okay? Rewards for Judd, I don't know.
They are growing on
trees. I want Judd to know that I may also, for some of the games, also partake in the same platforms that Declan does out of principle, mind you. And so, Judd, you're walking down a dark hallway here, and we can't let you get too close to the room.
You're out of state. So just be careful. Can't touch you.
Exactly. Write it down. You like writing.
Declan's not out of state.
So here's how Write That Down works. Every single week, three predictions from everybody, and they must be quantifiable. We keep track of batting averages and home runs. And if you want to be part of the show, if you want to be a guest listener predictor, like Drew is going to be here in just a minute, you can send a DM to @PhilMackey or @Dex's tweets on Twitter or hit us up on Instagram. Our DMs are open on both, and it's @the_Dexter for Declan on Instagram if you want to participate. All right, let's start out with the reigning defending batting average and home run champion. Judd Zolgad is the Mickey Mantle, the Mike Trout of Write That Down. He may look like he's 80 sometimes with bad lighting, folks, but he is in his prime when it comes to Write That Down predictions. And he had kind of a rough week.
This is wrong. This is clearly wrong.
Even Mike Trout will go 0-for-4 with a few strikeouts once in a while. All right. So Judd said the Wild will make a trade for a center at some point this season.
Another old even goodie. Oh my God. I forgot about that one.
Judd a couple of years back said the Chargers move back to San Diego by 2021. Unless that happens this summer.
Yeah, no. I completely forgotten about. Yeah, that's off the board. Larry Brown's off the board. What's left?
Yeah.
Let me see some of the old school predictions that Judd still has here from long, long ago. We've been doing Write That Down predictions for like 6 years. You've got Arizona State joining the Big Ten Hockey Conference.
That actually could happen.
Good God. That could happen. That's an old we're getting to, yeah. Yeah, that could happen.
You've got the Carolina Hurricanes relocating to Quebec.
Yeah, that's not going to happen
now.
That one could probably come up.
5 years ago, I would have said maybe, but now.
Well,
no.
5 years ago when I made that prediction, yes. I really liked it.
Yeah.
You've got the kickoff being out of college football by the start of the 2021 season. We're going to keep that open for another 4 months and see what happens. But
I'm shocked
they're going to be.
I'm shocked that that is not taking place yet. All right, let's keep going.
All right, I also had a bad week. I said between next week's Write That Down and so the last week, I said Miguel Sano will hit 2 home runs and raising his batting average above 200. Oof. He had 1 home run,
111.
His batting average got up to 100, but they just didn't really play any games. And then he hurt his hamstring, and here we are. So that was wrong. I said the Vikings will draft Tanner Morgan in the 2021 NFL draft. Well, he officially practiced at some spring practice last week with the Gophers, so I think we can take that.
Speaking of old, he's like 74 now.
Well, he has a receding hairline and everything.
He's got no hair.
Yeah.
And then this one didn't come off the board, but we flirted with it. I said Byron Buxton will avoid the injury list until at least June 1st, and man, he came. I think if they hadn't had games wiped out because of COVID, I think they probably put him on the injured list, so I might have got lucky with that one. Mm. All right, listeners, a couple of these came off the board. Jared said Dean Henderson will be the next starting goaltender for Man United. All right, I did a little digging on this, and Dean Henderson has started like one-third of the games for Man United in the Premier League, and he started a bunch of non-Premier League games for them too, so we're going to give this...
Dean Henderson.
To Jared.
Yeah, you don't know Dean?
That might be the least soccery name of all time.
Yeah.
Dean Henderson. Sounds like my mailman.
Even if you change it to like Hendrickson, I could like Dean Hendrickson.
Yeah, exactly.
I could see that being a soccer
Dean
player.
Henderson sounds like a backup nose tackle. Linebacker,
Dean,
right?
Dean Henderson.
Hi, I'm Dean Henderson.
Big dog. Gotta eat.
Yeah.
Football.
Zim loves me because I'm Dean Henderson.
Manny Hill, representing the listeners, predicted that Kevin Fiala would represent the Wild in the NHL All-Star Game this season.
No All-Star Game.
Correct. So that one's wrong.
Cool.
And then Declan had a couple rough ones here. He said Josh Donaldson hits his first home run of the season by today. And we missed this one last week, but Alex Kirilloff will be called up no earlier than June 1st. He was called up for a cup of coffee as an extra guy for a doubleheader, and so... Not the technicality you were hoping to lose on there, but
yeah, no, I get it. Yep,
it does count.
Yep, that's pop
nonetheless.
Up. Yep,
and so with that, Judd Zolgad, all of our batting average is going in the wrong direction, except for the listeners here. Judd's down to .421, still leads everybody. 1 home run on the season. Declan .325 with 2 home runs. Listeners up to .257 with no home runs.
All right,
and I am hitting a paltry .200 with just 1
Way
home
go,
run
Miguel.
On the
right,
season.
Guys,
way to go, Miguel.
Well, remember that. Definitely.
Career stats, Judd, with a league-leading 156 hits since we started tracking stats in 2018. 9 home runs. I am the home run champion, and I have 117 hits. Listeners, 97 hits, 9 home runs. Declan, 44 hits, 4 home runs. All right, Dex, let's get our guest listener predictor in the house here.
We got Drew here. Drew, what's going on, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Drew, thanks for coming on. Are you here to what's your strategy? Are you Nelson Cruz today? Are you Luis Arraez? Are you Dean Henderson?
Are you Dean Henderson,
the
keeper
for Man U?
I think I'm Miguel Sano today. I'm going to take some big cuts. We'll see if they connect.
I hope you fare far superior to what Miguel's been doing this season. Far better.
So you're going to leave the game after your first prediction is what you're telling us.
Hopefully not.
All right, so we're going to start with Drew, and we're going to go around the room 3 times. Drew, Judd, Declan, Phil, and we'll do it up here.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
Fire away, Drew.
All right. For my first prediction, I think the NBA draft is pretty corrupt. I also think A-Rod is corrupt, so those two negatives make a positive.
I like it.
So write this down. The Timberwolves will win the number one pick in the NBA lottery.
Love it. Yeah. I think it'd be great for the league if A-Rod was sitting on top of just an upstart team and the Wolves had all these young, fun players. Let's rig this thing one time.
I like it.
Actually,
It's been written before. Don't worry about it.
The third time it's been written. Yeah, don't. Yeah,
write it down. You like writing things down?
Just not for the Timberwolves.
Well, I think the Carl Anthony Towns one might have been rigged. I don't know why the league wants the Wolves to be successful, but that's my theory. Okay, Judd.
All right. Yule Eriksson Ek will score the Wild's first goal of the playoffs this season.
Ooh, okay.
Eriksson Ek will score the Wild's first goal of the playoffs this spring.
Okay, what makes you think that?
Yeah.
I have a good score.
Some big goals.
Actually, I'll help
he
you out.
Score some big goals.
I'll help you out there.
Oh, Declan's going to come to my rescue.
I'm going to help you
because
out.
Because I sat down and thought, that's a good write that down prediction. That's what makes me think that, Phil.
Yeah, no. I just saw this scrolling across my tweet deck, but Joel Eriksson Ek is tied for fourth in the NHL in even strength goals this season.
Wow.
Okay, there you
all
go.
All of his goals have come on even strength.
That's why.
Wait,
what Dex just said.
You're saying he's fourth in the entire league in even strength goals?
Yeah, he's got like 14. Even strength, 5-on-5. He's tied for fourth. Joel Eriksson Ek is tied for fourth in 5-on-5 goals with the likes of McDavid, Marchand, Toffoli, Anderson with 13 goals. Yeah.
McDavid.
It's a pretty
McDavid and Ek.
Stat.
You think of them just
yeah, me too.
Going back and forth all the time.
You like writing things down?
Yeah. All right, Dex.
All right, with this great Twins offense just scoring so many runs, I will say this. Between now and next week's Write That Down, the Twins will score at least 25 runs. So they play seven games between... Actually, I think it's six. Seven games between now and next week's Write That Down.
He's not
so that's
sure.
An average of 3.5 runs per game. They'll score at least 25 runs between now and next week's Write That Down.
Okay. A little math involved here.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. It'll take a little bit of math on your part.
Okay.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
All right. Write this down. I got a couple Twins predictions here, too. Alex Kirilloff will homer in a game before Miguel Sano's next home run. I think there's a chance Alex Kirilloff plays in a game before Miguel Sano plays in a game. Just with that hand.
Are you saying the Twins
hard to slow down
a
runaway semi truck?
Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm saying that I think the hamstring might put him
I agree
on the
with
injury
you.
List.
Yeah, of course
it might
it will.
Be Kirilloff.
He's not going to play for like 3 weeks now.
Right,
Rocco's very concerned about him. Rest and recovery.
All right, back to Drew, your second prediction.
All right, let's keep the Twins train rolling here. Josh Donaldson signed a 4-year, $92 million contract. Write this down. Donaldson will average less than 92 games a year over the course of that contract.
And, okay, we're going to have to probably wipe out the 60-game season, right? Or should we just say,
it?
Like, a percentage of available games played?
Sure.
What? Let's so you said 92?
Oh, yep. Way too much math here, man.
That's like 55.
No. Well,
60,
Phil can do it. Phil's good at math. I'm saying for me personally, I'm glad I'm not involved.
I'm good at math. It's called a calculator app on my phone.
Yes, correct.
So 92 games out of 162 would be 57% of games. So you're saying he will play in fewer than 50%, 57% of games as a Twin.
Yeah, I like that.
Is that
Let's
fair?
Do that.
Why?
That also protects you against, like, you know, there's going to be a strike this offseason. And they're going to probably play 70 games next year if we're lucky. So this will keep that prediction on the board.
Write this down.
All right, back over to Judd Zulgad.
Not done yet with the Twins predictions. Jake Cave, my guy, will not finish the season on the Twins roster. Jake Cave will not. I'm going to will this to happen because when he's there, the temptation to use him for Rocco, and I don't know why, his long-lost son becomes too great. Jake Cave will not be on the Twins roster by the end of the season.
Jake Cave has a family, man. I don't know why you're so hard on. Jake Cave's just trying to make a living. He's just out there just feeling the flow, playing Major League Baseball, and you just have to dump on him every single chance you turn on your microphone.
I feel like I've been actually very nice to him up till now, but the temptation to use him has become too great. And this whole... we got all these options. Rosario's gone. We got Kyle Garlick. We got Jake Cave. You got nobody, okay?
Yeah. I think we love guys who look like they're hustling, right? We love it when guys are diving. He's diving. He cares because he's diving. It's
Punto,
like, no, we just gave up a triple.
Clutterbuck. Like, you think about it. Here's the truth, okay? In this town, we love white guys who are gritty.
It's true.
I mean, that's just our thing. I don't know why that's our jam, but that's our jam.
Yep.
I was going to say Matt Tolbert. I don't think people loved Matt Tolbert, but he definitely hung on in the major leagues a month longer than he needed to because he looked like he was hustling.
Yeah. Drives me crazy.
Yeah. All right. Back to
write this down.
All right, I just realized all my write that down predictions are going to make life hell for Phil making these making the findings.
Are they all math?
A little bit. No, this second one's math. The third one is more of just, it'll be on a hunt for it. But this is my second one.
Okay.
There are 12 games remaining for the Wild this season. Okay? Here's my, write that down. Write this down. Kaapo Kakkonen will start at least 5 of the remaining 12 games for the Minnesota Wild by season's end.
Okay.
So there's 12 games left.
In the regular season.
In the regular season.
Yeah, that's not that hard.
Kaapo will start at least 5 of them.
Okay.
Okay. No, that's not. Yeah, we can figure that out.
Okay.
There's websites for that.
We'll handle that one.
Yeah, no.
No, that's okay. Yeah. I could do that.
Self-awareness.
Yeah. All right, write this down. This one involves a little bit of math, but not much. I sense an offensive breakout coming at some point. A big crooked number for the Minnesota Twins to get the boys ready to rock for the season again. All right. So write this down. The Twins will score at least 7 runs in a game between now and next week's Write That Down. I almost said 10, but I'm batting 200 this season, and so I just need some hits to come off the board. So the Twins will score at least 7 runs in a game between now and next week's Write That Down. Write it down.
Write that down.
I like it.
All right, back to Drew, your third prediction.
All right, this is a Vikings draft prediction. The Vikings' first third-rounder is at pick 78. And so I think sometime after that pick, between pick 79 and 134, they get a quarterback.
Okay.
So I'm not ruling out like a trade back or something like that. But between 79 and 134, they get a QB.
Okay.
Love it.
I got it.
Love it.
Makes perfect sense.
I think they have to.
They're back at quarterback, yeah.
I was watching Kellen Mond YouTube tape yesterday.
Yeah.
That's how all in I am right now. Now, he has kind of a weird throwing motion that probably needs to be worked on, but no one's saying he would start at any point in time.
That's why you take him and you just stick him in the backup role for a while, right?
Yeah.
And you work with him. Certain guy in Green Bay who had that done. Guy played behind Favre. I forget his name.
Think about like how archaic that wasn't that long ago. I mean, it's like 15, 16 years ago that Aaron Rodgers got drafted, and they sat him for 3 years.
Yep.
3 years.
That's because Brent.
And they're doing the same thing with Jordan Love right now.
Yeah.
But can you imagine drafting a quarterback in the first round and sitting on him for 3 years in 2021?
No, because it's a complete waste of the contract now.
Yeah,
like he should be playing then, but 1 year I think is perfect. Mm-hmm. I think 1 year's perfect.
Listen, Drew, you've done an awesome job here since you've got this platform on Mackie and Judd now. Would you like to thank anyone in your life that brought you to this pinnacle moment?
Yeah, I'd love to thank a couple people. My brothers, Alex and TJ, they're big Mackie and Judd fans who I'm sure will be listening today. They helped with a couple of these predictions. And then last, my mentor, Dr. Justin Sipla, he's a giant Vikings fan and he loves to recklessly speculate everything Vikings with me. So I just wanted to thank him. Yes. So
beautiful.
And thank you guys for having me on. I had a ton of fun.
You are a reckless speculator. Love it.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Hold on.
Reckless.
So there's a medical doctor who has a doctorate in reckless speculation, too. Not only is he saving lives, but he also loves reckless speculation.
I think so.
This is delicious. That's awesome.
It's very important, Declan.
It is.
FYI. Wow. It's very important. A doctor of RS is extremely important.
If we offered, you know, we're always looking for new revenue streams here at Score North to try and keep this dream alive. If we offered a masterclass in reckless speculation, like a 5-part series in how to recklessly speculate, when to recklessly speculate, why you should recklessly speculate, and sold it as an e-course.
You're sitting on a gold mine there. I'd sign up.
We might have to do this. We'll figure out a price point.
I love this idea. I love this idea because it is dangerous. Like people don't understand the danger behind this.
It's an art. You want to make sure that you're recklessly speculating with the proper knowledge base and education background. So, all right, that's Drew, guest listener predictor.
Thanks, we appreciate it,
and we'll get you on again sometime, right, Drew?
Thanks, guys.
All right, let's wrap up the final round here with Judd Zulgad.
All right, remaining on the baseball theme.
Write that down.
Wow.
The Yankees, the New York Yankees, the Bronx Bombers. Yankees win. Now batting number two,
shortstop Derek Jeter.
Number two, shortstop. The Yankees will fire Aaron Boone during this season.
Wow, dude.
Aaron Boone will be fired as the manager of the Bronx Bombers during the 2021 MLB season.
Wow. That would be a savage, savage firing.
My guys are savages. That was one of the write that down. That was so great.
Oh, that was a great one.
So one of the I love the New York beat reporters too. They're just like they're the most entitled, empowered group of professional sports beat reporters. Like they think they run the team, and that's the way that they ask questions and treat the people they cover as if they are the owners of the team. And I love it.
So do
and
I,
one
yeah.
of these one of these guys asked Brian Cashman the other day, and this actually might have been on a radio show, and those guys speak in the same tone. They asked him, so knowing what you know now, are you willing to admit it was a mistake that you didn't add more pitching this offseason? Yeah. And then you had I follow a couple different like New York radio station accounts too, and somebody called into WFAN's afternoon show and was basically saying demanding that the Yankees fix this by trading for Mike Trout.
That's how they're going to yeah
love it.
Yeah they have it's their right to go get Mike Trout.
Oh man,
I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's how they think. We're sitting here and we're like, ah, oh, maybe they can add a fourth starter.
Yeah. Write it down. You like writing things down?
Yeah, no, Shoemaker looks like he needs to be okay. Declan.
All right, last one. Again, a little complicated here. It might be just tough to find, but I don't think so. Let me just I'll just say it. I'll just get out of my mouth here. Between now and the start of the next NBA season, there will be a credible website who revisits the 2020 NBA draft, and Jaden McDaniels will be listed as a top 10 pick of said redraft.
Okay.
So you know how like websites like The Ringer will do this, ESPN does it, Bleacher Report, Complex, like they always do, you know, they look at the draft 1 year later or over a certain time. So between now and the start of the next
they'll
NBA
redraft
season,
it.
There'll be a credible website who does a redraft of the 2020 NBA mock draft or NBA draft, and Jaden McDaniels will be listed as a top 10 pick.
I like it.
Could totally see that.
Bill Simmons' Ringer Podcast Network actually has a podcast called The Redraftables where they do this. I don't know if they go back that I've only listened to like I think the only episode I listened to was the 2009 Timberwolves passing on Steph Curry twice. I just wanted to hear all right what's their take on what the Wolves did, but yeah, I think it'll happen, and I think the question is whether he's viewed as a top 10 pick. So we'll see.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
All right, and I'm looking for things that are gonna come off the board in the next month because I just need some hits here. So Anthony, write this down. Anthony Edwards will have at least one more 40-point game before the season is over. Ant Edwards will have at least one more 40-point game before the season is over. He had a 42-point game, I don't know, like a month ago. So I think he's got one more in him. One more in him.
One more 40-point game.
It's over. Yep.
Okay.
And there it is, boys. That's the write that down and accountability session of the week here. Don't forget football-centric write that down on Purple Daily every single Wednesday. And you can always just find all of the content that we produce, podcasts, videos, Judd's written work, alerts for breaking Minnesota sports news on the Score North app. It's free to download and scorenorth.com. We won't be rapping with Royce on today's episode/on today's feed because he has to do Royce on baseball, which you can also find all of Royce's podcasts. So just if you're a Minnesota sports fan and you're not already visiting scorenorth.com and the Score North app on a regular basis, you're missing out. All right, boys, anything else to add before we say goodbye here to Judd's bobblehead collection?
Blow up the Oakland Coliseum. Not with people there, just blow it up, though. When everyone's gone home, blow it up. Build a new stadium. What a joke.
Love it. All right, that's a wrap on today's episode of Mackie and Judd. We'll see you guys tomorrow.